Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Alistair, did you know that humans have been shaving for 5,000 years?
Well, it's news to me, but I'm going to trust it because it comes from you.
It doesn't just come from me, Alistair. It comes from Harry's, right?
The shaving experts?
The shaving experts. They know everything. They've done their research. They've gone back. If something's wrong, right, you trace it back to the beginning and you try and trace through the history and you try and work out, like, where it went wrong, right? Where did we go wrong, right? So they went back and they used, right, flint tools and shark teeth to try shaving, you know, went back to the very basics and worked their way up. Right, to the present day, and they discovered where everything went wrong with shaving.
Where?
It's all the gimmicks. It's all the gimmicks. It's all the bullshit. You don't need any of that stuff.
I think that part where you're dragging sort of like a shark's jaw along your face.
No, we were closer to the truth then than we are now. Like when you get one of those, something that's got like a vibrating, you know, electro ball.
I've made that mistake.
Yeah, yeah. You'd be better off with the sharks.
Why? What do these guys have?
Look, I got a lot to say about this, and I don't want to get into it now because I'll get all riled up before we start the podcast. And that's not a good place to come.
You don't want to have a whole bunch of energy going into the podcast.
certainly not. No, not if you've listened to any of the recent ones.
No.
Right. And so anyway, look, but if you're hungry for it and you can't wait to find out, you go to harrys.com/thinktank. You can pause the podcast, come back, right? But you go there right now, you get a special trial offer just for our listeners.
Well,
okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to go into any more detail about it. We'll talk about it more later in the show. Suffice to say, it's a good deal. You go there, we'll look after you. Harry's will look after you. You'll look after yourself, damn it.
Yeah.
And boom.
Tack, ticka, ting, tack, doom. Ding, tack, ticka, ting, tack, doom. Ding,
boom.
Ticka, ting, tack, doom. Ding, tack, ticka, ting, tack, doom. Ticka, ting, tack, ticka, doom. Ding, tack, ticka, ticka, doom. Ding, tack, ticka, doom. Oh, boy, Pat, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Two in the Think Tank.
Episode,
Alistair, just off the top of your head, I know it's hard to keep track of these kinds of things, but what number episode would you say that you think it is, if you had to pick a number?
Let's see. It's definitely 100 and something.
You're in the right ballpark.
I think we've reached the 90s.
Yeah, yep. This is very much the correct order of magnitude.
And I remember going through a lot of the numbers and that there's only one left, 19... It's 19...
Nine. The year 1999. Yeah. You think that's what they called it back in 199?
Then 199.
Well, you're spot on, Alistair. This is episode 199 of the Two in the Think Tank podcast. Do you know what that means?
That means that because we're recording this the night before.
Yeah.
We start tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Correct.
To record the 200th episode.
Yeah. So the reality is that before we even release this episode, we will have recorded the 200th episode.
That's right. You're hearing this now. The 200th episode has happened, has been recorded. We may be dead.
Regardless, because the 200th episode, in case you're just tuning in now, this is your first episode. 200th episode, we're going to do 200 sketch ideas. Normally we do five.
Yeah.
Right? Tomorrow we're going to come into the booth at 6 a.m. We're going to come up with 200 sketch ideas. We're going to live stream it. We're going to have this has already happened. You've missed this, but the live stream. But there's going to have been a lot of great guests. The point is that by the time you hear this, regardless of whether or not we actually died, the two men you're hearing now are dead.
Yeah, we're not going to be the same.
We're not going to be the same people. No, you can't step into the same live stream twice, Alistair.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't cross. Through the stream and be a same person. We've teleported and we've had the original people that we were get deleted in the one portal.
Yes.
And then we had new people created in this new portal.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the two portals. It turns out the tank the whole time was a teleporter.
A teletank.
Teletank. Yeah.
And oh boy, I got to tell you, it's a little daunting. But fortunately, we've lined our stomachs with garlic bread and pizza.
Nothing like a strong breathed food to eat before you're in a small enclosed space where you're inviting guests.
Look, I mean, you say that, Alistair, but I mean, the point is we're equals at the moment. We've both eaten similar amounts of pizza and garlic bread. So, I mean, you can't offend me.
No. Right? And it's not about you that I'm worried about. I'm totally worried about, like, you know, next day garlic mouth.
I mean, I've heard of such a thing. Mm. I've never seen it in the wild.
That's true. You don't. I mean, I don't believe
the rumors. I mean, Loch Ness.
But garlic breath. Is there a way in which there's a sketch around garlic breath you can see?
Mm.
How many cloves of garlic do you think you have to eat before you can see the
before
garlic
the
breath?
Density of garlic molecules? I think you might already be dead.
Well, right? There's a chance, but I guess there's. You know that once you get to the point where your mouth is filled with garlic and you need to just...
Filled with solid garlic?
Well, chewed garlic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, you know, maybe it could be ground down. It could be crushed.
As could we all.
By the way, that garlic crusher is not a good system.
I've seen improvements on the system. My parents went through a phase of every 3 months, dad would come home with a new elaborate... expensive garlic crusher.
Yeah.
But no one has ever perfected it. See, this is the problem. You crush down, right? You get some of it through the holes and then some of it sort of comes back up around the crushing thing. Then you got to pull that off, push that back in.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're not getting it all through because some of the skin bits,
you don't put it in with the skin.
I'm preaching to the choir.
You don't put it in with the skin.
No, but like even the under the skin, that
under
outer,
the that, skin.
Under the skin. Down where I'm bleeding.
Yeah. Mm. Well, what I was suggesting is that if you have a mouthful of solid and chewed garlic, at one point when you're gasping to just let a breath out and then let a breath back in, liquid will just spit out. So you know that at that point you will see that will be your breath that will be carrying so much liquid garlic in it that you know at that point it's visible.
Droplets. Yeah, we're talking drops. I mean, obviously in a cartoon, I've seen breath. Many a time in a cartoon.
Yes, green and wavy.
Yeah, green and wavy, but sometimes almost like a cloud.
Yeah, thick,
as well.
Thick mist or
green,
or
usually green.
A fog bank emitting from your mouth hole.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, I guess, in order for somebody to see something, nothing actually has to be there. It just has to trigger the senses, though. You know, so let's like a garlic smell that's so strong
that burns the retina in some way.
Yeah, or it triggers some, what's that thing where you flip?
Hallucination?
Well, kind of a hallucination, but what's that thing where you...
Synesthesia.
Synesthesia, triggers synesthesia.
Right,
it's a smell so strong, it pushes your synesthesia button.
And your nose basically gets such a colossal whiff of garlic that it says to your eyes, boys... You gotta smell this.
Yeah, I can't.
Grab some of the nasal nerve, which I assume every sense has its own nerve, right? Slams that up against the optic nerve, right? And you get the feed directly from the nose into the eye.
I think it's the nose. I think it's the nose bailing. It goes. This is too intense for me. Yeah. I can't handle this anymore. You're gonna have to take this sense. Like take this feed of sensory information.
Can you have a nasal hallucination?
I like that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, this could be a person who goes through a very strong garlic breath phase, and then that pushes them. It's so strong, they have the kind of shamanic near-death experience where then they from that point on, they kind of, their nose is not the same again.
And they can smell dead people.
Yeah, and they can smell dead. They smell you, and then they can tell. And this is all because of a garlic.
It's the old smell and tell. Yeah.
Do you think you would tell people if you could smell that they were going to die soon?
Oh, my God. I actually feel like that. This is an idea that has some vague familiarity to me in it. But, look, I can't remember what it is right now. But the idea – Alistair is now writing down a sketch idea, and I'm intrigued to see what particular nugget he has picked out from the rambling so far.
I'm writing all of that down.
All of that?
Yeah.
Wow, everything we've said so far? Yeah. Verbatim. Yeah, but I like that. I like the idea of a nasal hallucination. I don't know if ghosts traditionally do have any kind of a smell associated with them, because obviously you can get like a tingling sensation in the skin. You can see ghosts. Can you smell a ghost? You can hear a ghost.
You've never seen a ghost?
I've never seen a ghost.
So then you've never been present to know whether or not you've smelt one.
No, that's true. I'm not Alistair, you're phrasing this as if you've somehow caught me out. And I'm feeling that I'm feeling caught out. But I don't believe that if I'm in any way.
No, you're wrong now.
Am I out in order to be? I must be out in order to be caught out.
Yeah.
I guess I am.
I guess it was just because you were saying so confidently that ghosts don't have a smell.
No, I didn't say that. I was asking the question: do ghosts have a smell?
Yeah, right.
Right.
I apologize. I took the.
Well, this is the modern thing. This is just what it's like now. It's this call-out culture, right? It's we're so ready to jump on somebody just because we think we've heard them say ghosts don't have a smell, but maybe what they're actually saying was do ghosts have a smell, and shame on us, I think, or shame on us. I thought I'd been shamed. I'd been shamed. All of this is going to be the kind of stuff that you can see live on a video stream if you tune in three days ago.
I guess the stream might still be up, I guess, saved on the channel.
I guess feed. On the channel somewhere, right? It won't be, I presume, live anymore.
Unless we're still going on Tuesday.
It's absolutely possible. Mm. You could be watching me on the stream right now uploading this podcast that you're listening to now. I don't know why you're watching one stream, listening to another. I don't want to judge how you live your life.
Imagine that, listening to it while you're uploading it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost seems impossible.
Alistair, but no, it doesn't matter.
No, I apologize.
No, you're right. You're right. Actually, I was wrong about that one. You were right to call me out. And
so, wait, were we in call-out culture before? Were you making some?
I don't think I was going anywhere particularly interesting. It did occur to me that we could be in this situation where we are live streaming, right? But we won't be watching the stream because I don't think we need that distraction,
focus, yeah.
Right? It's hard enough,
yeah.
Right? We're perfectly capable of distracting each other and ourselves mm-hmm. without the entire internet.
Yeah.
But we might be in one of those situations, like one of those people who like tweets a joke, mm-hmm. gets onto an aeroplane, is in the air for like 10 hours, and then when they land, finds they've been cancelled.
Yeah.
Like we could say something appalling in the first 30 or 40 seconds of the podcast.
Yeah, I can very much picture that happening.
And, yeah, well, meanwhile, you know, everything's crashing down. Of course, we'll have guests coming in, but I imagine they would try and keep that
false. I guess they... Oh, yeah, I guess... I thought you were going to say they could let us know. I mean, do you think it would be detrimental to our project if we found out an hour in that we were cancelled?
Yeah, but at least an hour in, we'll still have some mental strength. I think if we find out 10 or a... You know, 16 hours in.
Yeah, and it's going to take a lot of mental strength to quit.
Yeah.
You know, I think if we find out 10 hours in, I don't think we're going to be strong enough to quit.
those ads mm-hmm. that they used to have about
Toyota.
Quitting smoking.
Oh yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but good guess.
I mean, it's quitting smoking.
Yeah, quitting
Which
smoking.
Ones?
The ones that were real positive, like you can do it, you can quit. Remember those kinds of things? They had like cheerleaders and stuff.
No, I didn't know that.
No, it was a thing. You know, probably about 10 years ago.
Was it like
maybe more.
Nicorettes?
Maybe
go,
it was.
Go, Gary, go.
Yeah,
go,
maybe that's
Gary,
it.
Go, Gary, go.
I thought that was the quit line sort of thing. But
yeah.
No, it's Nicorette. Yeah, all right.
I mean, but that was a great brand. You know, their gum was green.
Mm.
You know, they're still around?
I don't know. No. I mean, they must be, right? People are still smoking.
I think I still have a packet somewhere because once I bought a pack because I was like...
Alistair.
I'd read that...
I don't even need to know where this is going.
What's your guess?
My guess is that you'd read somehow that people smoke to help them concentrate or something like that. And so you thought, well, why bother smoking when I can just buy the nicotine gum, take that, and use that to help me be productive or something, or write you've set yourself a challenge. You say, well, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to write 5 jokes every hour and I'm going to film those and put them on Instagram and that'll just be what I do. And then after 2 days, I'll have an entire comedy festival show.
Yeah.
But then you found that wasn't working. So you thought, I'm going to have to take up smoking. But then you realized you didn't have time or you didn't like the taste. So you just bought the Nicorette gum.
Yeah, the smoking did taste like a campfire.
Yeah.
So...
How close was I?
Well, nicotine, yeah, was one of the few ways that you can extend your concentration.
One of the few ways.
Like chemical ways that just genuinely shows that you can, it increases your attention span.
That's amazing.
I mean, I guess you can smoke ice or something like that.
I don't know. I don't know if they ever talk about that.
No, they don't talk about that in official papers, but I do know people who studied using methamphetamine.
Methamphetamine?
Yeah.
Not just amphetamine, methamphetamine. Yeah. Smoke ice and increase their...
Oh, you could just take it orally.
Right.
Just have a crystal, put in some orange juice or something.
Yeah, wow.
Just, you know,
and
mix
it just
in with
dissolve or something, like sugar?
Yeah, or you just end up swallowing it or something.
Like a chunk and then it dissolves in your stomach?
Yeah. It does whatever it does.
Whatever it does. I don't like to pry into its business.
I'm sure they didn't want to know too much about it. It was just a thing some people do to clear their heads.
Mm, sure. I mean, you know, a lot of those drugs, you know, there's like a 12-step program to quit them.
Mm.
But I'm sure that if you took enough ice, you could probably get it done a lot quicker. You know, really race through that 12-step program.
Yeah, sort of admitting that you've got to admit that you're...
got a problem?
That there's a higher power.
Oh, yeah, you've got to surrender to a higher power, I think. Yeah.
I already have this ice.
Yeah, see? I'm ahead of the game.
Oh, my God. I'm going to skip through. I'm going to go to 8. I reckon I could do 8 now. I think I'm ready.
Give it to me.
Yeah.
Hit me with it.
So now we got to... What's a sketch idea? Oh. I guess the opposite of a 12-step program, which is usually what you use to get off of something.
Mm.
There could be like the opposite, which is like a hill that you tumble down. You know, it's the one hill program.
Yeah. Is this to get onto something then, if it's the opposite?
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, it's kind of like you feel like your life's going too well and you want some life experience, you know, that I guess doesn't involve the sort of success in the direction that you've been going.
I wonder if at some point it would be possible to, because we're big on body modification, et cetera, obviously. If at some point it'll be possible to sort of basically have a chip in your brain that runs your body, runs your entire body, and indeed your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that you can have, like, you can be the ultimate functioning addict, in that your body, your mouth, your everything in your interaction with the world around you is running as perfectly as possible, and then your brain itself can just be so messed up and addicted to drugs and be, you know, doing basically whatever your brain wants. I don't know how your brain will be getting the drugs, but it'll probably, you know, probably have some kind of deal going with one of the hands where it slips its stuff when the rest of the body's not looking or something like that.
The brain slips it to the hand?
The hand slips some stuff to the brain, pokes it in through the ear or something, right? It's got on the outside. You got to have someone on the outside.
So you got a naughty hand.
You got one naughty hand, right? The other hand and the eyes and stuff aren't really watching,
mm-hmm.
right? But then it just pokes a little shakes some crystals into your ear or something, goes straight into the brain.
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
And your brain's tripping out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the chip is like called functional, you know, but it's is spelled AI.
Yeah,
but
really
it
good.
Looks like an L.
Yeah. Well, we really haven't sorted out, and this is very I think about this way too much with my kids, the difference between the capital I and the
lowercase L.
But, I mean, we can talk about that later on. I mean, that's...
No, I mean, that's a big one, though.
It is a big one. It's a big one to take on.
I mean, should we just tackle it now?
Okay, sure, because this is my problem. At some point, we gave up on that little foot at the bottom of the lowercase L. And I don't know when we decided that it was okay to just, like, amputate that, the L's foot.
Yeah, where did we put that?
When I learned handwriting, there was a little curl at the bottom of the L, wasn't there?
But wasn't it is that when it's a loop?
I would always just put one. I never learned to do joined up writing.
Really?
No.
Cursive.
Cursive. Yeah.
But can you do it now?
I mean, I guess I can just sort of scribble.
Yeah, but you don't have to scribble. You can just write it, like.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, and but there's a, you know, cursive is like a. It's supposed to look a certain way and things are supposed to join at particular points and stuff, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine I just don't take the pen off the page and then I just do all my letters.
Normally, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
mostly think... that. The S is kind of becomes like a bit like a D.
Sure. Like funny little...
Yeah.
Looks like the sail of a boat, or like a spinnaker or
looks
something
like
that.
Looks like the sail of a boat. I don't know what a spinnaker is. But
spinnaker is one of those big sort of sack-like sails that you put out the front, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Do you know
when you just got the wind behind you?
It occurred to me that I was taking us on another tangent.
Oh, man.
So, L.
Yeah.
Now that we've gone this far, L. Small L, big I. How can we fix this problem?
I mean, I was going to say maybe we...
Do you think context?
I mean, context is big, but there's... But, like, when you're trying to teach the kids the letters, you know, like, we've got the ones that stick onto the fridge as magnets, and there's functionally speaking, there's no difference between the capital I and the...
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're saying, I don't want to have to explain it to my kids.
That's right. How am I going to explain this to my children?
You're right. This is hard.
Yeah. Before we took the foot off the L, we should have had a plebiscite of some kind.
I mean, there should be a whole web series that's called How Am I Going to Explain This to My Kids?
Mm.
And it's things like this, genuine problems, not like problems that conservative people have made up.
No, no, no. Problems that idiots like me have had.
Exactly. Well, I mean, this is it's very concerning. I mean, I'm sure the problem also affects people who come here from non-European alphabet.
Alphanumeric, whatever that's called. What is it? What is that? The Arabic alphabet? Is it the Arabic alphabet?
I don't know. But then...
Arabic alphabet's totally different.
It's probably what you...
What is the thing that we got... From
the real alphabet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean.
The real alphabet? Yeah.
I think from now on, if you want to write the letter L, okay, you've got to write the words the letter L.
Okay.
Oh no, but that's not gonna work because people won't know if you're writing the letter L or the letter capital I.
Yeah. Well, but you wouldn't write the letter L with a small L.
You don't think?
I think you'd use a capital.
Well, what do you think is the default letter?
It's the capital.
You think the
capital... It's the more official one.
You think you think the capital A is the real A?
That's the official A. That's the face of A.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess that's why you always put it at the front or something, right? You put your spokes letter out the front of the sentence.
Yeah, it's a master and slave kind of thing. The capital gets all the sort of the big roles, beginnings of words and like, you know, in titles and things like that.
Mm.
Whereas the slave kind of gets the shittier sort of smaller jobs, like, you know, it can begin the word like and things like that don't matter. Mm. Or all the I's in the Mississippi and things like that. All the sort of the bulk of the work.
Mm-hmm. All the heavy lifting, all the drone work, the grunt work is done by those lowercase ones, which I presume are maybe they're asexual. Maybe they can't reproduce.
I think that every every lowercase letter does get neutered or whatever. You have to. And that's one of the privileges also that the big letters get to do is that they get to cut the genitals.
I thought you were going to say that one of the privileges they get to have sex, but no, the real privilege is getting to cut the genitals.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess that's how they keep them small like that, like when you neuter a sheep or something like that.
Yeah, so that way they never mature. They don't feed them the royal jelly or whatever, the capital jelly.
Do they evolve like Pokemon? You know, like you start out as a lowercase, or maybe they all start out... In just like a little full stop, and then that bursts open I guess the full stop at the end there is sort of there as just like a little chalk to stop all the letters sort of
running off.
Spreading out or they're very much, or whatever.
You know, they're very much like an elephant that's been tied to one of those little posts as a youngster. You know, you show them once, you know, when they're small, which obviously they stay small all the time.
Yeah.
Put that little dot there, they kind of go, whoa, like that, and they don't want to go beyond it. And then, you know, the longer they live, they still don't learn anything.
Mm.
You can really actually just put them on a page and they don't move. Unless you get an eraser.
Yes.
Then you can use that to kill them.
You can use it, well, yeah, threaten them. Make it like they were never there.
And that's the only thing that's bigger than... it can actually kill the big letters, too.
And capital letters, yeah.
And digitally, that's the backspace or the delete key.
Mm. I think we could go through all of the letters then. Like, I mean, assuming that capital letters are capable of reproducing, we'd have to go through all of them and sort of work out maybe a family tree or like a sort of which ones mate with which other ones. I mean, obviously the Q and the U are in some kind of a relationship.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or like the Q, really, it feels like is in a monogamous relationship with the U, but the U really feels like it can see other people.
Yeah, yeah. I think
the Q is quite clingy.
The Q is very clingy, and the U, yeah, is a bit of a player.
Yeah,
yeah, behind its back
in that relationship. Yeah,
but actually, when it's behind its back, is actually when it's with it.
When it's with it, yeah.
It's in front of its face that it often goes and does other things.
Well, like. I guess it depends on which side you think the face is on the Q.
Yeah, I guess for me it's the part where the back isn't.
Oh, right. Okay, well then, Alistair, I hate to call you out and say, gotcha on this, but how do you know which side's the back?
Well, on the small queue, it's the long line.
Right, is it? Okay.
And so I just assume with the regular queue, with the big queue, real queue to me, the back is on the same side. I guess I assume they just face the same direction.
Right, I guess... For me, maybe the capital letters, I would see them sort of facing all of the little letters in the sentence or in the word, sort of keeping an eye on them, right? Not looking out sort of towards, what, the margin or something like that? Yeah. I mean, what would be the point?
I see their authority as being great enough that they can look away and be confident that the others, the smaller letters are still listening to them.
And they're more a leader than they are a supervisor.
Yeah. They're not here to babysit.
They're not micromanaging.
yeah. No, they put them in place, and then. But I mean, I guess with a letter like A, you could see how maybe that faces the audience, the reader.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
And so maybe that's kind of what the Q does.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of a more powerful thing. Like they're saying, like, hey, I'm going to look eye to eye with even humans, which are clearly maybe. I would say a superior race to letters.
You have a look at the letters and think, you're staring me down.
Yeah, yes. Stare off, Q. Stare off, mate.
Either you're better than me, huh?
Oh,
I've got an eraser. Oh, what do you mean, your pen?
That's why we created the eraser, to dominate the letters. Yeah, it's very much an invention of man. And,
anyway, Alistair, I mean, this is all very fun. But we've already written something down for this, haven't we?
Yeah, master and slave, uppercase and lowercase letters. And I think that works as a sketch idea. Yeah, we talk about their history and, you know, I mean, I guess...
I think there's, their private lives and how they reproduce.
Do you think the V and the A are related in any way?
I mean, they almost feel like they would be nemeses in some sort of... You know?
Yeah, but you know, but then they would find out that, you know, maybe the A would find out that the V was actually its father or something like that, or a long lost relative, you know, but they're cousins or something like that, you know.
Yeah, and then
because I guess they all come from Greek people.
Greek people.
Greek letters.
Yeah,
which I guess come from Greek people.
I guess so. Yeah,
but I guess they come from even the Greeks got it from somewhere else, right? Mm.
What do you think about the stripe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Right? The stripe, probably the default pattern, would you say?
That's interesting.
If you were to pick the main clothing, like the basic clothing pattern, probably the stripe.
I don't know. What do you think about the spot?
The spot, to me feels like you would have come up with the stripe well before you came up with the spot. Because if you're making things with like sewing or weaving or whatever, easy to get a stripe. I think a spot is an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, but the stripe is also, I don't know, it feels like it would have taken a while to get the coordination to get a good stripe going, you know?
Sure, you're right. Yeah.
Whereas a spot, you know, especially early on, you know, like maybe if you're you're looming or something like that. If you're using a loom, then a stripe kind of almost makes more sense because then you're putting in limes. Yeah. Yeah. But what if you just come across some cloth?
Okay. Yes. No, but I mean, it could be an animal skin or something.
Could be an animal skin.
Sure. But See, I think you're neglecting the key word here, which is pattern, right? And I think for those spots to form a pattern, you probably would have needed to put them in a line. So you kind of already need to know about lines in order to be able to make a pattern out of a spot.
Yeah, well, I guess if you have to make cloth, does every cloth have to be weaved? Woven?
Woven?
I guess
felt isn't. I don't think felt is woven. Felt is just sort of pressed.
Is that a very early material?
Could be an early material.
It doesn't feel like it. It feels like it came along a bit later, you know?
That feels. Felt feels like it. How does felt feel? I felt like felt.
From a long time ago. I don't know what you're. I can't even picture what the first cloth would have been.
Like
a hemp weave. Either way, there's
wool.
Lines.
It would have been wool, right? It would have been wool, or it would have been maybe human hair, maybe even human hair.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So then,
if we'd never domesticated the sheep,
yeah,
right, and instead we just domesticated ourselves,
yeah.
Right? And there would be people whose whole jobs were to sort of roam around in fields and then be dragged into a shed occasionally and have all their hair shaven off and then woven together into a cloth to be worn by, I guess, maybe them or something like that.
Or a capital letter.
What about this, right? In order to reduce animal cruelty, we decide that we're no longer going to farm sheep for wool, right? And that all people are just going to keep growing their hair until it's at such a length. And then you can just be randomly grabbed by like one of the government shearing squads,
yeah.
Right? And they drag you into their van, their shearing van. They cut off your really long hair,
yeah.
Right? And then that goes into some vast depository,
yeah.
Okay, and then that all gets mixed together, and then we get issued with a couple of square meters of cloth every year, made from the shorn hair of everyone in the country.
So it's
all mixed up there together.
So it's like a kind of like a cloth sort of socialist utopia,
yes.
in which you know we only make the cloth out of human hair.
But that's the only element in which the country is socialist.
Yeah.
Everything else continues as normal, which is why the vans have to come and grab you.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really interfere with your life in any way. You'll still be going about your business.
Well, I reckon it's going to interfere with your life if you're getting grabbed in the street. It's probably going to affect
minimal interference.
It's going to affect the, you know, how you can regulate your emotions and things.
Maybe they could drench you while you're in there. Yeah, about drenching. That's like how you give your sheep all its like vaccinations and that sort of thing. They shove like this squirty gun into your mouth, into the sheep's mouth, and it sort of has to swallow this blue goo that you squirt into its mouth.
No, I do that.
Right, maybe then you paint like a blue stripe on its head or something so that you know who's been done. I mean, I guess you'd be able to tell from the fact that they don't have any
bald
hair.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe they go get a wig or something.
And do bald people get cloth?
I guess that's it.
But yeah, that's what makes it unequal.
That's what makes it socialism. This is like Medicare for all or something like that. Mm. Medi-hair for all.
Medi-hair. Mm. Medi.
Yeah, I don't know what the Medi's doing in there.
It's medical hair.
Okay.
And that, you know, it's used for keeping you warm so you don't get sick.
Of course, this means that all our clothes are made from human hair. And as you know from getting your hair cut, there's nothing more irritating than when you have some hair inside your shirt or something like that. But imagine that.
But maybe that's just because your shirt's not made of hair.
Maybe it's just a relative thing. Yeah. You think, this feels out of place. If only my shirt were made of hair.
This feels like my relative's hair.
Yes. And maybe then we would all be uniformly uncomfortable all the time, and it would be comfort that felt uncomfortable.
Yeah. And so then we would start calling discomfort comfort.
And we'd start calling comfort discomfort. And nothing would really change, I suppose.
Assuming that discomfort felt like comfort. Or it wasn't just another way of saying
discomfort.
Discomfort.
I mean, I don't think that made sense, but I mean, but it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For me.
Before we got onto that shaving people thing, yeah. What were we talking about? We're talking about patterns.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to say, so let's say they made the first cloth.
Yes.
Okay, right.
The first cloth.
Okay. I think early on, you've made cloth, even if you are weaving it, it would take a while before they realize you could pre-dye and then weave the line into the weave. So first thing would be painting patterns onto already made monocolored cloths. So then it's about whether or not it would be easier to put spots on, or easier to put lines on. You know, I guess those are the two things that it would be.
Let's make a parody of, this is going to be very topical, right? It's going to be a parody of that movie, that Ricky Gervais movie, The Invention of Lying, right? But this is called The Invention of Lining, right? And it's about a world where nobody's invented the line, the straight line.
Oh, right. I thought you meant like the inner part of the jacket.
No, Alistair, that would be stupid. This is the invention of lines, straight lines. Nobody's thought of straight lines before. Everybody's walking in circles or like sort of wiggly shapes. Houses kind of look like blobs.
Right.
Okay.
So they invented like the straight line.
You invent the straight line.
That would have had to happen.
Right. And then everyone would be like, how'd you get here so quickly? Oh, well.
Well, and then he doesn't want to tell people at first.
No, you wouldn't tell people. It'd be like a superpower. But, it'd be basically teleportation.
But also, he would only be able to tell them the truth, though, because they haven't...
It's in the same universe.
Yeah. It's part of the invention of lying.
extended universe. Yeah.
Oh, we got to get Ricky Gervais onto this. Get Ricky to get us onto it.
Oh, that would be even
Ricky,
better.
Ricky, we're happy to write this one for you.
Well, I mean,
we still want Louis involved.
Was Louis involved in Invention of Lying?
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I do recall. That was the time. There was a time there where they posted a video online of them on some small plane where there was a lot of, like rumbling and falling and things like that. And Louis's very scared. And Ricky, you won't believe this, but he's laughing quite loudly and obnoxiously.
I mean, I guess that proves it, right? That really is the person that you are. Like, if a plane is going down and you are still...
Yeah, that's who you are.
Maybe he's one of the most pure people that exists.
I mean, you know, he's a hero to all
people. There you go.
Yeah.
I think it's... I mean, I haven't checked online recently, but I think he's, last I checked, universally loved.
Loved, yeah. I mean, he's as close to having reached some kind of enlightenment as I've seen. You know, he doesn't seem to be worried about stuff.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's, that's a lot of what his stuff is about these days. Like, I'm not worried about this, even though, you know, talking about it does kind of make it seem like you might be,
you've definitely given it some thought.
Yeah.
You know what? Harry's Razors, Alistair.
Yeah.
You know, we have a special offer for our listeners. An offer, right? This is something that we often offer.
Yeah.
And you can join the 10 million others who have tried Harry's. Claim your special trial offer by going to harrys.com/thinktank. Why Harry's? Harry's is a return to the essential quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade. That is a big saving. If you look at the price that you pay for those damn elaborate ones from your mainstream brands, right? This is a subscription service. They'll just send these to your house. You don't have to go to the place and ask them to get the thing from behind the thing.
Right? I often leave it too long. Yeah. And they start dulling and it hurts my face every time I shave.
I had to buy some condoms right from the IGA in our small town recently, where everybody knows everybody, right? Yeah. And there's this, and a lot of like just young teen kids who don't seem to have ever left the town, but this young boy is basically serving me. I have to go ask him to go and get the I mean, no, we're talking about condoms now, not Harry's, but yeah, I imagine it'd be similarly embarrassing. He had to go and I had to ask him to go and get them. From behind the counter, you know, they're up there on a thing, right, with the razors.
Were you doing this in?
This is this year. Yeah. Right? I know, this is the country town, right? And then he brings them back to me at the thing and he says, fighting the good fight. And I said, yeah. I just didn't know how to respond to that.
Well, I mean, you are fighting the good fight.
When a teen is giving you condoms.
I think he's probably seen you come in with a lot of children.
A lot of children. You know what?
And he realizes you've got a tough battle ahead.
Yeah.
And you're fighting the good fight.
Mm-hmm. The first, last, and only line of... anyway. Harry's owns a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making some of the best razor blades in the world for 99 years.
That's...
99. Yeah. I imagine when it gets to 100 years, they'll have to make 100 razors to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. That's what we would do.
Did you know that 1% of sales are donated to organizations that provide access to mental health care for men?
That's a beautiful thing
Isn't
to do.
Isn't that a beautiful thing to do? Anyway, here's a call to action for you. Listeners to our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/thinktank. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering save gel, love that gel, with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy on the go. You could never drink a cup of water in your life.
Mm.
Never consume any liquid. If you're using that, if you're shaving with that that aloe gel,
yeah.
When you die, a desiccated husk, your skin is going to be so beautiful.
Yeah, and plump and moist.
Plump and moist, right? You'll be crumbling inside,
mm-hmm.
right? But outside, just like that eggshell, perfect. Yeah. Oh.
People will look at your open casket and they won't let the priest bury you.
Yes.
Because they said nobody who is dead could possibly be that plump and moist.
And the priest will say, it's Harry's!
It's... Damn, Harry's making my job so hard.
Go to harrys.com/thinktank to start shaving better today.
And
I just
back.
Think, what if the first pattern that we come up with had been like a dolphin jumping out of a lake
heart.
Of blood?
Yeah, you know, a whole lake of blood. Yeah, no, I hadn't thought about that.
It probably wouldn't be considered a pattern. But maybe it would be if that was the first one.
As long as you repeat it.
Right.
How many times do you need to repeat it before it's a pattern?
Three? Three dolphins jumping out of a... Right?
You could do that on a skirt.
I think three makes a pattern.
Do you think that before... You know those kind of hula skirts that were like... That are just...
Remind me.
That are like a grass sort of Polynesian skirt.
Yeah.
Do you think that's pre-cloth?
Might be.
Do you think like before... Like, do you think it's an alternative to cloth? Or is that a precursor to cloth where... Because, I mean... there are places that weave things together, you know, like blades of grass and things like that.
Mm.
So maybe that's like a proto cloth.
Yeah, well, we'll just have them all hanging next to each other. We won't necessarily force them to connect together in any way. We won't chain the threads.
You have the downward threads. You just don't have the across ones
exactly.
that weave in and out.
Yeah, yeah. You're halfway there.
That's right, and do you think maybe there's shirts like that,
like a hula shirt?
Yeah, like a hula shirt,
a grass shirt.
You just
around your neck, I suppose. You have like a thing, and then the threads hang down.
Socks like that?
I think it'll be hard because they'll hang down just sort of from the. I think it'll be hard to conceal like consistently your pecs or your nipple area.
Yeah.
Right, because won't the threads just hang down from sort of the neck central?
Might break some wind though. Like, you know, you might, like...
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Yeah, you know, it could block some wind.
Maybe they just... Maybe you just hang the threads over your shoulders, and then maybe you have some more that are hanging from your neck. Mm. I mean, they'd fall off your shoulders very easily, but if there was no wind at all, maybe if there'd never been any wind, we would never have invented cloth. We would have just had threads hanging down.
Yeah.
All over our bodies.
But do you think we did okay before that we had cloth at all? Like, obviously we survived without cloth for a long time.
I want to know, when did we lose our hair, right?
Mm.
As as apes or whatever, we lost our hair, and then at some point we started wearing things, or did we start wearing things and then our body lost our hair because it was like, don't need this?
I reckon there must have been a long time when we just weren't wearing any anything, right. And we just...
Well, I guess it works for elephants. Works for elephants, pigs.
Works for naked mole rats.
And you know what? If it works for the naked mole rat...
Well, you know what I think happened is that we probably came out in a place where the weather was fine to be nude at all times. But then we started traveling, right? We started traveling, but we couldn't travel until we had the appropriate gear to be able to traverse colder terrains. And so we started killing animals, taking their skins. We started, using, obviously, putting some grass around our necks so it dangled over our nipples.
Yeah.
And things like that. And then people who moved further along could claim land for themselves that where there was nobody, no other people. Sure, there were bears, you know, but that bear wasn't a person who could knew about ownership and things like that.
Correct.
So you could, you know, you could, I don't know, then get a bunch of dogs and then defend your land from the bears.
From the bears, yeah, and that's fine. You can do that.
You can do that because a dog already has clothes.
The naked mole rat, Alistair.
Yeah.
They don't know they're naked, do they? To them, they're probably just mole rats.
Well, they haven't eaten from the tree of knowledge.
Oh, God. I mean, imagine being a naked mole rat.
Yeah. And then...
eating from the tree of the knowledge. I think they are blind, though.
Yeah, but then...
but they'd be able to feel that they're naked.
And then the tree would allow them to experience shame? Is that what happens?
I think that's what it is. God, I mean, I think there would be a fair bit of shame associated with being a naked mole rat.
That's why they're so far underground. You know, it's like God's given them a chance to never be able to access the fruit.
Yeah, a bit of a buffer. These fellas. But, I mean, maybe they do know. Maybe they wear the earth as clothes. You know, that's why they're underground.
That's not so crazy. Andy.
Yeah.
I mean, because what is clothing?
If not...
it's just a hole?
Yeah, it is a hole. It's a hole. It's a hole that you climb into, poke your limbs through other holes.
Clothes are just... your regular
clothes are a cave.
Yeah,
they're just a cave you take with you.
They're a cloth burrow.
Yes. A portable cloth burrow.
It's just a smaller house that you wear... As you walk around.
This is how, when we invent clothes, this is how we're having to sell them to the people, right? This is how we're pitching it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a portable cloth burrow. You know, think of it as being a hole in the ground, but once you get into the hole, you walk and the hole comes with you. You know how you, when you stand behind a tree, you can hide from the wind? Well, imagine... there's trees all around you, and they're very narrow. Now, this one isn't good.
Were you just waiting for me to finish writing? So you're like, all right, I can quit.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, Alistair.
Thank you so much. Tomorrow, do you want to write some stuff down so you have, or do you like the traditional gender roles that we have?
I think it's important that we keep this the way it is. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how your wrist's going, Alistair. I mean,
imagine that, 200. I could be...
yeah. Like that's an essay. It's a couple of essays, I reckon.
Carpal tunnel.
Oh. Essay.
Essay.
So, I think we've got 5 sketch ideas. Now we just need some words from a listener.
Right. I mean, it's so easy. How many minutes did it take that?
Alistair, I barely want to know. God, just as I was clicking over, I was like, did I even start the recording? How would I know? That's 45 minutes. I mean, it's not a good sign. We need to be going a lot faster than that.
We'll be fine, Andy.
We'll be fine.
Okay. We got 3 words from our Patreon supporter. Hey, if you want to support us on Patreon, we love it. It helps us. It helps Andy pay his mortgage and his financial problems. I'm about to go into months of unemployment.
This will be what. This is how we know to stop the podcast.
Yeah.
Because we've been talking about, is there ever going to be a reason to stop the podcast?
Mm.
Maybe when I pay off my mortgage, stop the podcast. Great.
So what do we got? How many year mortgages?
It's a 30-year term.
30-year term. Great. Yeah, I think there's a chance we're going to die before then.
Oh, fingers crossed.
The So, okay, three words. Anyway, if you want to support the podcast, patreon.com/twointank.
Mm.
We've got a lot of people joined. Either $3 that allows you to suggest three words, or the $8 one that allows you to get all the bonus episodes.
And we love it so much.
Including Sci-Fi Try Guys.
But also, you don't have to do that if you don't want to.
Of course not.
And you can review us on iTunes, or you can just tell a friend about the podcast.
Yeah. Or you can just be.
You can just be.
You can just be.
Just be.
You know, it's just an unbelievable, weird, lucky thing that anything we've been getting anything from this from doing this podcast, which we just enjoy doing.
That's
except
right.
for tomorrow, which will be a slog.
It'll be hell.
All right. So the three words from today is from one of our Patreon supporters called Jaden Younger.
Hello, Jaden.
It could be Jaden Younger. He might want it to be Jaden Younger.
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 Yes.
Jaden Younger. He's followed the traditional method of sending in three words, and they're all individual words, so there's no trickery in there.
No, I love it.
Yeah, are you
I
ready
love
for
the him? Absence of trickery.
Mm.
Yeah, hit me with these three individual words.
Egg.
Yes.
Boiling.
Yes.
Adventure.
I mean, Alistair, this takes me way back. I believe we've talked about this on the podcast, haven't we, about how when you boil eggs at different altitudes, it takes a different amount of time because the water boils at a different temperature, a different air pressure.
And there's lower pressure?
Then when there's lower pressure, I think it boils at a lower temperature.
Feels like...
I mean, I can't remember.
Higher. It feels like, I don't know, like it just my instinct tells me that at a higher pressure... Oh, no, yeah, maybe that's what it is because... I'm trying to think back to Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
Mm.
They cook rice at a under a lot of pressure,
yeah,
which must mean that it boils at a higher temperature.
Mm.
That way, they can sort of because it takes they need to get the rice needs to cook at a higher temperature, right?
It's so confusing
because I guess my instinct would tell me that higher pressure it boils at a lower temperature. But then why would you get anything out of that when you...
Yeah, no, I think you want it to be at a higher temperature
mm.
so that you can put more energy into the thing that you're cooking, cook it more intensely.
Do you want to try and figure out in your mind what makes it shift?
Well, this is it. So this is what boiling is, right? Mm-hmm. Boiling is when bubbles mm-hmm. of vapor form in the liquid,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what defines boiling, I think.
Yeah.
Like, because something goes from being a liquid to being a gas, basically, when it boils. So you get those bubbles in inside the liquid, and you see those when you're boiling a pot on the stove or something, right? Those are bubbles of water vapor.
Yeah.
Now, those bubbles would occur when the pressure of the vapor... Mm-hmm. is equal to the atmospheric pressure,
mm-hmm.
right?
And if there's less pressure...
If there's less pressure
it
outside...
It takes less molecules?
It takes less heat for the bubble to form,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you would boil at a lower temperature at a lower pressure, right? And that makes sense. That's why it takes longer to cook an egg at a high altitude because it is a lower temperature.
Yeah, and then
your
that's
water
why
is boiling
you would,
at a lower temperature.
That's why you'd put a lot of pressure on this rice.
Yes.
When you're boiling it, so that it boils at a higher temperature.
Yes.
Because or else you can't cook this rice properly.
Yes. Now is that a sketch idea?
No.
and that's why when you're in space.
Yeah.
Right?
No one can hear you scream.
Exactly. No, when you're in your space and you go out, your blood boils instantly because there's no pressure outside you, right?
Mm.
And so you don't like that the water in your blood instantly turns to vapor.
Even though it's really cold?
Yeah, I think your blood boils and turns into
Oh, that's a real bummer, isn't it?
I think that's right.
Is that why there's so much gas out in space?
Could be.
So many things are gaseous because there's just such little pressure.
I guess there's no pressure to cause them to turn into
But then they're also boiling.
Yeah. Boiling cold.
Boiling cold.
It's boiling cold out here. This feels like something we've already said on the podcast.
No, it does. Okay, now we got to figure out how to make a sketch. Well, look, it's Egg Boiling Adventure.
Egg Boiling Adventure. I'm so sorry. I got us way off track.
That's okay. Right? Well, I mean, I enjoyed the process of figuring out.
I mean, maybe that's why people climb Everest, because because of the
difficulties of boiling water on Earth.
Exactly. Well, because
well, down on ground level.
Because, I mean, sure, you climb Everest to sort of see the view from the top of Mount Everest, but that's just one experience, right? That's just and in many ways you've already seen that. Right, you've seen those photographs or that sort of thing. You've probably been in a plane that's even higher. You've probably seen something that's even better than the view from the top of Mount Everest.
But
what haven't you done? Boiled an egg and it takes half an hour.
Right? That's right.
Now that's an experience.
Yeah, especially with the pressure of having to get back down before the weather changes.
Exactly. Yeah. I got to boil this egg before the weather changes. When have you ever had that experience?
It's a low pressure, high pressure egg boiling scenario.
Exactly. The pressure's on you, not on the egg. I've been under so much pressure up here.
To be honest, I thought it was going to be such a new experience, but to be honest, the low pressure that the egg boils at and the high pressure that I'm under really makes the whole thing feel just like it does back home.
Do you think that Hillary and Tenzing were the two people to... the first two people to take the longest time to cook an egg?
Ooh, it's a good question. I guess there could be somebody who just didn't have very much fire.
Very much fire, or just kept getting distracted.
That's
sure.
Because they're holding the pot above the fire with their hand. And
I
they
guess.
Keep, yeah. Is the low high pressure thing?
Hillary gets down from the top of Mount Everest and all he wants to talk about is how long it took to boil the eggs.
I couldn't believe it.
I remember setting foot on top of the mountain and thinking, can't believe how long it's taking to boil this egg.
I mean, I'm hungry now. I mean, look, I cooked it for the seven minutes that I normally do after the water boils. And I tell you what, when I got it out, you've never seen an egg so runny in your life. And I said, well, okay, well, I've got one more. I'll give it another go. Give it a couple more minutes. Something about the cold, the atmospheric cold must be changing the scenario. And I'll tell you what, after 10 minutes of boiling, I swear, it was probably softer than the 7-minute one. I could not. I said, you can eat both of those, Tenzing. Norgay.
That's right.
My Sherpa friend.
God,
that was a good bit of snippet, wasn't it?
It was a good, good accent we were doing for that New Zealander, wasn't it?
I can't even imagine. Like, even though I know what a New Zealander accent sounds like, I can't in my head even start to understand how to do it.
Well, I think it's something about... that's worse. That's so much worse. Something about fish and chips,
but
right?
There's also that thing about, like... early, you know, even 1950s Australia, 1950s, everybody sounds weird and different. A lot of people sound British. A lot of people sound just like, what? Wait, I don't think that.
And I think it's hard to imagine, like, I feel like Hillary, Sir Edmund Hillary would have been given an honorary British accent.
That's right. Yeah.
Right? If you've climbed up to the top of Mount Everest, they probably just give you one. They whisper the secret to doing it or something in your ear, and you're allowed to do one from then on.
Was the Himalayas at that point owned by the British Empire?
I reckon it would have been out of the British Empire. By
yeah, because Nepal was never a British colony.
Probably was.
Yeah,
feels like something that would have been.
No,
I reckon they would have grabbed that.
Would have been a lot of work though.
Getting up there and stuff.
Yeah, we'll go. Oh,
trying to go over the mountains to sort of say, don't run away. Yeah, but
you're ours.
You do stay. Be ours.
Be us.
Let us.
Say it like this. It's a lift. It's a lift. What a beautiful lift.
What the fuck is that?
Teaching them English words. The way that we say it in
Why
England.
Why the word lift?
Because that's what they say instead of elevator.
I don't know that that's the most crucial word to be teaching people in Nepal.
In a way, I was picking something silly so that it would be ridiculous.
Yeah, but in another way, Alistair, I picked you up on it and took all the fun out of it.
It's okay.
Did we have anything there?
Yeah.
All Hillary wants to... I mean, I feel like there's probably plenty of other stuff in Egg Boiling Adventures. You know, I mean, you think about it, an egg... such a fragile thing. Mm-hmm. Such a fragile thing, the egg, right? But to take the egg and to boil the egg in some adventurous type scenario surely makes the adventure more adventurous.
That's
right?
True.
I mean, you're rafting down the rocky, so the Colorado River.
Yes.
Right? There's rapids.
That's right.
Ah, all very well. But you're also boiling an egg.
You've also now, got a little hot plate going or a fire.
Think about the elements of Jeopardy you've added in, right? Mm-hmm. Suddenly, you've got a fire, you've mm-hmm. got boiling water, and you've got this egg that you don't want to break, mm-hmm. right? Now we're talking. Now it's an adventure. Skydiving,
yep.
right? Okay. Source of heat.
Yep.
Boiling water in free fall.
And an egg.
How are you boiling the water in free fall? How about this, right? You jump out of a plane,
yes.
right? You're in free fall. You have a globule. How about this?
I've changed it.
You're in zero gravity. You're in space.
Yeah.
Right? I want to know if this is possible. Tell me if this is possible. Yep. You're in zero gravity. You're in space. Mm-hmm. You've got a globule of water, big globule of water mm-hmm. there. Hovering in yeah. front of you, all held together with surface tension. You take an egg, you put it inside that globule. You get a blowtorch, Alistair. You're ahead of me. You get a blowtorch, you point it at that globule.
Yeah.
Right? Can you boil the egg inside a globule? Now, my suspicion is that when you point the blowtorch at the globule, it'll just
blast the water away.
The globule apart.
Because that's kind of the back of a rocket, right?
Yeah.
And will the blowtorch push you away?
Oh, my God. Okay, well, then you've got to have something to hold on to. And then you need all your shipmates with other blowtorches.
To hold on to the water.
With other blowtorches. You're herding the water with your blowtorches, not letting it get away. Because you're trying to boil this egg, obviously. I mean, I imagine this is how they have to boil eggs in space. Because how would you do it otherwise?
That's right. Well, do you think when they all manage to sort of contain the water by pointing all the blowtorches at them, they actually somehow start fusion power?
Well, that's basically what it is, isn't it?
Yes.
Can't get away.
Look, I like it. I was picturing, going to Vans, Vans, that music festival.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Vans Warped Tour. And going
don't
to
know
watch
what that is.
The Vans Warped Tour.
Vans that like the clothing?
Yeah.
Right.
And they had a line of music festivals for a while called Vans Warped Tour, where bands would come, maybe Blink-182.
Oh, they would have loved that.
What's that band? What's that other one that's like Pennywise? Pennywise
would have
been there. Oh, I think it's before Good Charlotte. Sort of like when, maybe.
Limp Bizkit?
Yeah, maybe Limp Bizkit. Yeah.
Korn?
Yeah, Korn would have played
live?
Oh, I don't know. I think live was maybe different.
Yeah,
these are kind of like more like punky kind of bands, you know? Anyway, Green Day, yeah.
Yes.
And then, but then at the same time, they would also have a touring.
Placebo? Sorry.
I don't know. Look, to be honest, I don't know. They might still be running these bands. Anyway, they also have X Games that tour with them. Big half pipes.
Yeah.
And picturing those people on a half pipe boiling an egg. I guess you hold it in your hand because once you're doing flips, sure, everybody can do flips. But what about it's a pot with a self, like a hot plate underneath it maybe that you've sticky taped to it.
Yep. Sticky tape.
Boiling, going up. Trying to not get that splatter on you.
Yeah. Every time you go up, you got to catch the falling water back in the thing again. And you can't break that egg.
Yeah, or you just
you swing it. Yeah,
you swing it around.
Like spinning a billy.
Or you just keep it flat as you spin.
Yep. Yeah. This is
BMX.
This is wonder when we're going to have the first sport in space. Space sports.
You say that guy skydiving from that big high balloon?
Doesn't count.
Because that's more of an Earth sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want a space sport. I'm just wondering what the first space sport will be. Some sort of jetpack thing.
Air hockey?
I mean, I guess, maybe some of those ones like underwater hockey or water polo or whatever.
Yeah,
those ones that are sort of already sort of floaty.
Yeah.
Sports will translate quite well. To
I guess
space.
Jetpack Quidditch.
Oh my God.
It's going to be jetpack.
That'll actually be real big.
Yeah.
If you can make a broom that does shoot out flame or whatever kind of propulsion, man, people will be all over that jetpack.
Yeah,
Quidditch.
You could do it at the back of that jetpack with that flame.
Boil an egg.
Boil a fucking egg. I'm going to take Fuckin' us through the egg. Sketches for one episode 199. Garlic breath so strong you get a nasal near-death experience and you now can smell dead people. Right?
Wow.
It triggered,
what a journey that
it
was.
It triggered nasal hallucinations and now you see things that aren't there. You've got nasal, that other thing there.
Synesthesia?
Synesthesia. Yeah. Nasal synesthesia. You can start seeing smells.
I think you have synesthesia amnesia because you can never remember the word synesthesia.
You're right. And by the way, that's a great name to send to George. I mean, he won't like it, but...
No, he'll hate it.
Master and slave of the upper and lowercase letters. There's a whole history to these, why the uppercase letters are the are the big boys and the lowercase are the slaves to the big boys.
Then Do you think that the word ouch is like the universal safe word? Like, outside of in non-bondage contexts, we sort of already have an informal universal safe word.
It's just ow.
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 Anyway. Ay, 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 ay.
Oh, there's that one too as well, yeah. There's that.
I feel like they use that in both Mexico and Japan.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, maybe there's some interesting history, you know, anthropology that could be done to look into that.
It's related to masked wrestling in some way.
Probably.
Yeah. Then we got a sheepless society in which we shave humans. And it's sort of like a... it's a cloth socialist utopia where vans just come and grab you and shave your
vans
hair off
world
you.
Tour.
It's Vans World Tour. They're
warped,
on a world
warped
tour. Yeah, it is a warped... Vans Warped Tour. Yeah. Anyway, then we've got the invention of lining. And that could either be the person who invented lines.
Fuck.
And then
The world is ripe for this parody film to be made. That very successful, very well-known film with all those iconic scenes.
That would be... That kind of thing is absolutely the kind of project I would love
to
do. You
dedicate my life to.
I would dedicate at least a couple of years to... that's the only problem with life is that there's only so many years to waste on pointless projects.
My only regret is that I didn't have more time to waste
on big projects that didn't seem worthwhile. Clothes are just a portable cloth burrow, a person said, trying to sell clothes to the nude. This is, you know, clothes are a new thing. You've just invented cloth, and you're probably just about to invent the line, or the spot, or the first pattern.
Dolphins. I'll be intrigued to see what arises.
It's probably splodges or something like that, you know, like the first
the
thing.
Splodge.
The splodge, or the first pattern would have been, like, fully colored in one thing. You would have dipped it in dyes or whatever.
But then I don't think that's a pattern.
Well... On the microscopic level.
Oh, sure, level.
It would never look, you know, entirely blue. You know, there'd be gaps if you get in close, and so then it might be a pattern in that way.
I suppose you're right.
Yeah, thank you. Hillary was the first to take a really long time to boil an egg. Hillary.
Yeah, I feel we can skip over that and get to something better later on.
No, wait. And then we have... Egg boiling adventure, which is basically the three words that Jayden gave us.
We see your three words and we give them back to you.
It's egg boiling adventures where you...
Like X Games.
Yeah, where you...
Eggs
you,
Games. You, the Eggs Games.
Where you do exciting stuff and you make it more exciting by also doing it whilst boiling an egg.
Yes. The Eggs Games. All right. This is a thing I thought of today, Alistair.
Yeah.
You know the Hollywood Bowl?
Yeah.
Do you think in Bollywood they have the Bollywood Hole? Live at the Bollywood Hole. I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's anything.
I guess it's funny as well because, you know, It's slightly less classy, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a ditch. I mean, it's a hole. I guess it's a hole.
Yeah, I picture it as being a kind of a big dirt
pit.
Dirt pit. But yeah. that there's performances that happen
sure.
in there. Yeah.
Sure, there's performances.
The Muppets probably are performing at the Bollywood
As we
Hall.
Speak.
Yeah. Great. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, thanks so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank, the podcast where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy and he's Alistair.
Can you believe that we're one episode away from finishing season one?
It's what a journey.
Yeah.
You know? Feels like we've come so far and yet gone nowhere at all.
Yeah. So thank you very much for listening to the first 199 episodes, or at least some of them, or just this one. And then...
Brace yourselves, I guess.
Brace yourselves for us being different people beyond this.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you got to listen to the 200th episode first.
I guess this is goodbye. I'll say goodbye to you now, formally, Alistair, and the knowledge that you won't ever exist again.
Yeah, and I know you won't exist in this form.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think we should cut our hair during the 200th episode?
Sure. I mean, fuck, we've got to do something. Yeah. I mean, maybe there's some ideas under there.
If there's time.
Okay. Well, the ideas are in my head.
Yeah.
I've got to get to them. Somehow this hair is just between getting in the way.
Where's that knife I was going to use to carve that cheese goblet?
If the 200 sketch episode doesn't end with us carving into our own skulls to try and get to the ideas, I'll be very disappointed.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, Andy. I'll see you back here in probably 8 hours.
Oh, that's my favorite bit of the podcast.
Yeah. So you can, you know, review us on iTunes. And
find us on Twitter. I'm at Stupid Old Andy. He's at LSRTB.
And we're at Two in Tank.
You should listen to Shusha, Al's Guided Meditation Podcast.
It's very relaxing. It's Some people listen to it every night, apparently, to get to sleep.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's very lovely. Take care of yourselves, and
we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.